The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, August 1st, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and it's got to be a beautiful day in marijuana law reform. The entire world is changing right before our eyes, and I was forced last night to have to update my marijuana states map because Illinois has now become the 20th state to have medical marijuana. Yes, Governor Quinn has finally signed the strictest medical marijuana bill in the state. We'll tell you more about that in our 420 Radio News. Plus, we'll go into a little bit of a radical rant about how that's further evidence of the Box Canyon in action. Also on today's show, great news coming from South America, where Uruguay's lower house has voted to legalize marijuana. Not decriminalize, not medical, but a full-scale marijuana market in Uruguay. That's interesting news we'll get to in the 420 Radio News as well. Also on today's show, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at a really interesting story that I found just the other day, having to do with this marijuana entrepreneur. He's got a new commercial out. He says he wants to create the marijuana brands that will be like the Marlboro or Budweiser of marijuana. It sounds a little kooky to me, but I'll let you be the judge in behind the headlines. Also on today's show, we've got some live call-in. Bago Schwago, our regular music editor for Groovin' Thursday, found us a band called the Royal Kush Band. We're going to talk to them live at our 20 after break and play some music from them, so check that out. At half past, we're going to go to the state of Ohio. We've got a guest from the Ohio Rights Group by the name of John Pardee, the president of the Ohio Rights Group, is going to be calling in. We're going to talk about marijuana legalization in the state of Ohio. Also, we'll get into, like I said a little bit earlier, the radical rant at the end of the show. We'll talk more about the Box Canyon theory and how the Illinois bill is example of that. And then in hour two, we got a lot of stories to cover, some on I-502 implementation in Washington State, but a really tragic and heinous story about a 15-year-old girl in California who was kept in a box as a slave, both a sex slave and a trimming slave, for that matter, by some illegal marijuana growers. Plus, we got Brian the Red in the studio who stopped by. We'll get him on the mic in hour two as well. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show. We got all sorts of great news for you today. So glad that you could join us. Hemp Fest is just a couple of weeks away. I am so excited. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 1st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Illinois governor to sign medical marijuana bill today from the Chicago Tribune. Governor Pat Quinn today signed a bill legalizing the use of marijuana for medical purposes in Illinois that supporters say is the strictest in the nation. The law takes effect January 1st, but state regulators are likely to need months to come up with the rules. That means it could be until next summer before those suffering from 42 illnesses, including cancer, AIDS, and multiple sclerosis, can legally seek relief through marijuana. Under the new law, a person could be prescribed no more than 2.5 ounces of marijuana over 2 weeks. In addition, the prescribing doctor must have a prior and ongoing medical relationship with the patient. Patients would have to buy the marijuana from one of 60 dispensing centers throughout the state and would not be allowed to legally grow their own. The stores would be under round-the-clock camera surveillance, and users would carry cards that indicate how much they had bought to prevent stockpiling. Marijuana would be grown inside 22 cultivation centers registered in the state. Uruguay's lower house votes to legalize marijuana, from CNN.com. Uruguay's lower house passed a marijuana legalization bill Wednesday, bringing the South American nation one step closer to becoming the first to legally regulate production, distribution, and sale of the drug. After more than 12 hours of debate, the bill garnered the 50 votes it needed to pass the House of Representatives. 46 lawmakers voted against the bill. The country's Senate is expected to take up the measure in October. President Jose Mujica said he backs the bill, which would allow marijuana to be sold in pharmacies and create a registry of those who buy it. Only those 18 and older would be allowed to purchase the drug. Marijuana is the most commonly used illegal substance in Uruguay, and drug traffickers net $30 to $40 million annually from the black market, the government has said. Marijuana use is legal in Uruguay, but production and sale of the drug is not. Colorado, a major exporter of illegally grown marijuana, report says, from the Denver Post. Colorado has become a major exporter of illegally grown marijuana to the rest of the country, according to a new report by a network of law enforcement organizations. Last year, police across the country made at least 274 highway seizures of marijuana that investigators linked back to Colorado. According to the report, the seized pot, 3.5 tons of it in 2012, was destined for 37 states, most frequently Kansas, Missouri, and Illinois. In addition, U.S. Postal Service inspectors last year seized 158 packages of marijuana being sent through the mail, according to the report. They seized 209 packages of pot in the first 5 months of this year alone. All of the reported seizure numbers are significantly higher than they were several years ago. In 2005, for instance, police made 54 highway seizures of Colorado-grown marijuana, according to the report. Misdemeanor drug arrests plummet following marijuana law change, from the Sacramento Bee. The number of misdemeanor drug arrests in California fell by nearly 50% over the last 5 years as legislation reduced possession of small amounts of marijuana to an infraction, new state figures show. About 72,000 Californians were busted for misdemeanor drug crimes last year, compared to 133,000 in 2007. Misdemeanor drug arrests were already on the decline when the state legislature in 2011 changed adult possession of up to 28.5 grams of marijuana for non-medical purposes from a criminal misdemeanor to an infraction, punishable by a fine of less than $100. Felony drug arrests, usually reserved for traffickers or those in possession of a large quantity of illegal drugs, were also down by about 15% from 2007 to 2012, according to the State Department of Justice. Slight increase in crimes near Denver medical marijuana dispensaries, from the Denver Post. Nearly one-third of the crimes committed in Denver occur within 1,000 feet of a medical marijuana dispensary, according to new statistics provided by the city Wednesday. Overall, crime near dispensaries rose slightly in the first half of this year, but the statistics provided no evidence that dispensaries themselves are driving crime in their surrounding neighborhoods, or that crimes at medical marijuana stores are increasing. According to the figures provided by the city's Department of Safety, Denver recorded about 7,000 reported crimes within 1,000 feet of dispensaries in the first 6 months of both 2012 and 2013. Violent crimes near dispensaries saw a minuscule uptick in 2013 compared with 2012. Property crime saw a slight decrease. Overall, crime near dispensaries was up 1.8%, in line with the slight increase in crime in the whole city for that period. A similar report by the Denver Department of Safety for the first 9 months of 2009 and 2010 found a decrease in crime within 1,000 feet of dispensary between those 2 years. A study published last year by researchers at UCLA found dispensaries in Sacramento did not increase crimes in their neighborhoods. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 1st, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, it's time to go behind the headlines and take a look at a new video ad from a marijuana entrepreneur planning a $100 million Marlboro of Weed brand. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Legalize it. Call your congressman today.
202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Welcome back, everybody. 15 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And I saw this post up on Huffington Post about an entrepreneur who is planning for a $100 million Marlboro of Weed brand. Let's take a look at his little pitch, his commercial that he's got, and then we'll come back and talk about this a little later. November 6, 2012, Washington and Colorado vote to become the first legal marijuana markets in the entire world. Similar to the gold rush of 1849, many pioneers pack their bags and head west in search of great fortunes. Prohibition Brands presents Sheriff Roach, Ms. Kitty, and Sassy Galore, and Blazer in Green Rush.
Well, howdy do, folks. I'm Sheriff Roach, and I've come out here to the Wild Wild West in search of the marijuana Green Rush.
Hush. I'd love to let y'all in on an itty-bitty secret. We've come out here to start the world's first international marijuana business called Prohibition Brands. And we're a marijuana blending company.
Hey y'all, Prohibition Brands is the marijuana equal of a bottle of Budweiser or a pack of Marlboros.
Our brands include Roaches, Marijuanettes, and La Cubana.
We're trying to raise up to $50 million through venture capital groups, crowdfunding sites, and investors just like you. So that's right, even you. Yes, you sitting home on your couch, you can be part of the marijuana Green Rush.
Our patent-pending technology creates the world's first marijuana filter.
And we've created innovations for preserving freshness.
For roadshow dates, employment opportunities, or how to get involved, visit us online at www.prohibitionbrands.com. Prohibition Brands, science in smoking.
Marijuana is illegal under federal law and is classified as a Schedule 1 substance. Investing in stocks involves risk, including but not limited to speculative nature, loss of investment, lack of diversification, lack of investment, and so on. Consumption of marijuana involves unknown risks to your health that include and possibly include addiction, memory loss, decreased motor function, decreased lung capacity, increased acceptability, others, and so on. Marlboro and Budweiser are registered trademarks of their respective companies. Prohibition Brands, marijuanablending.co, prohibitionbrands.com. So there's a look at this video for Prohibition Brands. And I know this guy says he's going to try to raise millions and millions of dollars with that. And this just goes to show the green rush, as he put it, and how people that aren't involved or have any idea about marijuana and its consumers, how they see us. And trying to compare this to a Marlboro or a Budweiser is some of the worst framing I've ever seen in my life. This guy, though, he's a real example here. Let me give you one of his quotes. He says, quote, "Anyone who has met me or dealt with me in business would tell you that I'm an absolute genius," comparing himself to the late Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Quote, "I come from a background of having an idea and executing a physical product from an idea, and that's what's relevant and needed in the marijuana market," end quote. Right, because nobody involved in marijuana knows a damn thing about marketing or selling marijuana. We need you. He filed with the SEC and pointed out in his filings that he's not versed in similar markets like alcohol or tobacco. And he says, besides his experience, his penchant for risk-taking and irreverence will translate into success in the marijuana industry. He's been arrested several times over the past decade on charges that include having a fake ID, possessing a small amount of marijuana, and charged with grand theft auto last year when he failed to return a rental vehicle on time. In response to that, he says, quote, "That's really been my fearlessness ever since I was a kid, that the police really don't scare me too much. I bring that extraordinary view to the table," end quote. Well, I'm glad they don't scare you too much, because you might be having to deal with them quite a bit, especially with the publicity stunt that he's planning. He is attempting to roll a joint containing 1 kilogram, 2.2 pounds of marijuana. Well, buddy, you wouldn't be the first. I've seen a couple of 1 kilo joints before, but we don't have quite that much. We've got a little bit with Brian here. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, hi, everybody.
Time to celebrate a 420. Let's get it on.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Fun, fun, fun.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long.
I like it.
Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night.
Funky. Delicious.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Time for our Daily Toker Tunes break, and we got Bago Schwago on the line. How you doing, Bago?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Rob?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited about today because we got a call in here. We've got, I'll let you introduce the band.
Well, actually, this gentleman goes by the name of Matt, and he's with the band, the Royal Kush Band, and they submitted some music a couple weeks ago, and I was going through it, and I fell in love with it and got a hold of him on Facebook, and here he came.
Hey, Matt, can you hear us okay? Matt, are you out there? You're on, Matt, if you can hear us, man. We're talking to you right now, online, on air.
We can hear you, Matt.
All right, well, there must be something going on there where he's not figuring out that we're on and we're talking to him. But a great band, the Royal Kush Band, that submitted some music through our contact form. You can find our contact form at 420radio.org/contact. And we always are looking for new music, and we've got every different genre you could possibly want. So no matter what kind of band that you've got, we'll find a day to put them on. Hey, Matt, do we have you on the air there?
What's happening?
Hey, Matt from the Royal Kush Band. This is Radical Russ at 420 Radio. How are you?
Great. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for submitting your tune here for 420 Radio. We just wanted to find out a little bit more about you guys, your band. Where are you from?
We're from Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Oh, we got Canadian music. We got a lot of Canadian listeners out there. Glad to hear you from Nova Scotia. When did you guys get together?
Probably about 3 years ago.
Okay. And how have things been going for you? Lots of success? Got some albums out?
We have a free 19-song mixtape we just gave away. And we have an EP on iTunes. It's also on SoundCloud.
Right on.
It's going pretty good. I mean, you know, everybody starts somewhere.
Right on. So tell us the folks in the band, what they play, and what do you guys call your music?
I call it like a rock, ska, reggae, hip-hop sort of genre. I had to put it in the genre. It's all about Jim is Jim is the singer and guitarist. JT plays bass. I rap. I used to play bass and rap, but we decided to switch it up so that we could get a better bass player. And Rob plays the drums.
Right on. Hey, Bago, did you have any questions for Matt?
Only thing I want to say is I love the line on his website. When you ask him what type of music he says, it says, if you were to put reggae, rock, funk, and hip-hop into your pipe, then light it and inhale, the result would be the Royal Kush Band. And I think that's a perfect way to put it for him.
Right on. So you guys got a website, Facebook, any tour information for the Royal Kush Band for us?
We have SoundCloud / search word the Royal Kush Band, at Royal Kush Band on Twitter. We don't have really have any shows lined up at the moment. We just had a show on Saturday. But we have, like, lots of free music on every possible website. Like, there's also a official RoyalKushBand.com website. Like I said, there's lots of stuff out there. And just about any social networking site, you search the Royal Kush Band and find us.
All right, fantastic. And sounds like you guys are all huge supporters of legalization. Are you active with any of the activist groups or any of the protests up there in Canada?
Well, we are on the very East Coast pretty well. We don't have much going on, but if there's something going on, like a cannabis day or anything like that, I am there 100%. I totally.
Fantastic. All right. The song we're about to hear is called Bud Buddy. Who wrote it and what was the inspiration?
The inspiration was just, everybody has a Bud Buddy. Like we don't tell where we get it sort of thing, right? You don't tell people, oh, I'm going to so-and-so. You say, I'm just going to see my buddy.
Gotcha.
And, exactly.
Also, it can be somebody who you have a puff with or share, you know, go halves on something.
Right on. So a buddy in Canadian is what we call in the States the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's play the tune. This is Bud Buddy from the Royal Kush Band. Thanks so much, Matt, for calling in and submitting the music. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Royal Kush Band, Bud Buddy from Nova Scotia. Check it out.
I calls up Buddy.
Hey, yo, I need some more green again.
QP and D's again, no seeds to keep the stem. I want to get blazed like I was 14 again. Wait patiently, grab my bongs and start cleaning them. I anticipate, where's my cash? Get it straight. Got a scale, check the weight. Better be no fucking shake or have no funny taste for my money's sake. Look, Buddy, wait, I should get a break. You said was great, eh? It's straight, hey. For the money that I pay, you should roll me up in J. He said that's all she wrote. We laughed and had a joke. He got his cash and hit the road. I got my stash, I'm good to go. I need some Bud Buddy. You got some Bud Buddy. I got some money. If you got Bud Buddy, Bud Buddy, Bud Buddy. I need some Bud Buddy. I got some money. If you got Bud, but since 300 BC, it's been used by all men. Marijuana is a cultural medicine. Don't you believe all the things that you hear? For ganja is coming, yes, Jah is coming. Remember the days pitching in on a dime and trying to get high with two splits with six guys. Nowadays, a joint barely gets me high because I'm talking with Mary Jane on the daily. Usually, pay my respects on time. Somehow, it just seemed to slip my mind. I need to see the man because it's Friday night and I can't get my head straight. Can't get my head straight. Call up Buddy, telephone's ringing. I'm getting nervous, hear the fat lady singing. About to hang up, call it quits for the night. Then I hear,
hello.
I say, hey there, guy. You got some Bud Buddy. I need some Bud Buddy. I got some money. If you got Bud Buddy, Bud Buddy, Bud Buddy. I need some Bud Buddy. I got some money. If you got Bud Buddy, Bud Buddy.
busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Statistics show that 40% of all kids who smoke marijuana live in the city. Guess where the other 60% live?
Activism begins with act. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour, and we're making our call out to John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group, who'll be joining us by telephone. And I think we've got him on the line. John, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, glad to have you here. Thanks for being here. Ohio Rights Group, can you tell us a little bit about the organization?
Yeah, we were formed just earlier this year as kind of an outcropping of the whole old Ohio Medical Cannabis Association. And we have a new directive this year and a new energy. We're trying to get therapeutic cannabis and industrial hemp on the ballot here in Ohio, and our goal is to get it on the ballot here in 2014. And we've just this last May received approval from the Ohio Attorney General and the ballot board to proceed to collect the 385,000 signatures of registered Ohio voters. And if we're able to do that, then we will get it on the ballot.
Fantastic. Now, this is something we cover in a lot of states that have the initiative petition in their constitution. And just south of you, down in Arkansas, they've been going through a lot of hell with their attorney general just trying to get the title approved so they can gather signatures. So this means you've been through that step. You've already gotten the title approved. You're ready to go. You can go get your cigs.
Yeah, we're building our army. We've got like 40 offices around the state already, and we've got well over 2,000 volunteers. Our petitions are now downloadable online, so people can actually download them from all four corners of the state and start collecting signatures of their friends and neighbors. A lot of good things are happening here. Our big challenge really is, you know, Ohio's an expensive state, so funding our campaign is going to be the biggest challenge we have to date.
Yeah, in general guidelines that I've heard is it's anywhere from $1 to $2 you have to budget per every signature you need to get. And then usually you need to get, you know, 60 to 75% more signatures than what the statute says, just so, you know, because some of them get disqualified. So that sounds to me like you're looking around $500,000 to $1 million you're going to need to raise. Is that about right? Is that what your estimates are?
Yeah. We've had, if we were to hire a professional signature gathering company, which we're hoping to do, we're hoping that, you know, we'll get funded to that point. If we can do that, then, you know, we've had quotes, you know, north of $1 million, you know, mm-hmm. 1.4 million to be exact, in order to hire a firm that can get it done. But right now, we're doing it strictly on, you know, volunteer, and grassroots. It's just, it's been kind of fun watching the energy come together. Everybody in Ohio really seems to be coalescing behind this movement because they see the power of what we've got going, and our message is definitely resonating.
We're speaking with John Pardee, the president of Ohio Rights Group, and the possibility of getting medical marijuana on the ballot in Ohio. What does your polling look like, John?
Actually, our polling is very good. The Columbus Dispatch commissioned a poll earlier this year, and they showed support for therapeutic cannabis in Ohio at, I believe it was around 67% was the support for therapeutic cannabis. You know, full legal is underwater. It's in the mid-30s. This state is not ready for full legal, but that's not what we're shooting for. We're here for the patients and the veterans and folks who need it medicinally, and for our farmers who will have the opportunity to be able to grow industrial hemp and open up a whole new cash crop for our farmers as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. We'll come back to the medical, the therapeutic issue in a second, but the industrial hemp issue, this is something that's been pushed now in Oregon and Maine. I mean, states have legalized this before, but they've always depended on the DEA for a permit. And now states are starting to say, to hell with the DEA permit, go ahead and grow hemp. Is that the direction you're looking for in Ohio, a permitless sort of hemp?
Well, it's kind of what we're doing here in Ohio is unique, and it actually involves both the industrial hemp and the therapeutic cannabis, because what we're doing is our amendment is to amend the Constitution to reestablish our rights that were taken away by prohibition. And if you look at the Ohio State Constitution, the preamble basically states that you know all of our citizens are free to pursue health and safety and liberty and property, and so. What we're going to do is we're going to try to, add that language to our Constitution, because once our rights have been established, they can't be taken away, regardless of whether a farmer wants to grow hemp or a patient wants to grow cannabis, for their Parkinson's disease. So, our amendment's been looked at by, reformers around the country, and they say it really could be a model for the nation. It could be a model for California and for Michigan, some of these places where they're really having a lot of problems with home rule, communities, trying to prohibit, sale or distribution of cannabis. All the problems that they're having in Michigan right now, where they're striking down, the dispensary provision and making the manufacture of hemp, of hash oil, akin to a meth lab, things like that. So, what we do is we reestablish our rights to grow, sell, manufacture, and use, cannabis in any and all forms.
Wow. Now, this is the route that Colorado took with its medical marijuana and its legalization, the constitutional amendment route. Does this provide any extra roadblocks, though? I understand that it's more difficult to pass a constitutional amendment because people are less likely to want to tinker with their constitution.
Yeah, you're right. But Ohio is actually, it's fairly progressive in the fact that it allows citizens initiatives, that opportunity. As a matter of fact, I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe the gambling initiative went through a constitutional amendment as well. So, so I think if the Ohio voters are comfortable with that, I don't think they're going to have an issue with it, especially when we're looking at it, it's not for recreational, it's for, our farmers and for our patients. And I don't think that's going to be a tough sell. In Ohio.
Now, the news that came down today is Governor Quinn in Illinois signing the bill to legalize their therapeutic use of cannabis, but it's an extremely restrictive bill. There's no home growing. There's a very tight list of conditions, tracking of how much patients are buying and so forth. That's just, one state away from you with Indiana in between. Is that going to affect people's interpretation of your amendment? And can you give us some of the details with respect to home grow, possession, plant limits, et cetera?
Well, our language, you can view our petition online at ohiorights.org, but our language specifically indicates that it doesn't, we didn't get into the whole a number of plant rule. Our language basically says sufficient to the needs of the patient. Because if you look at it in context of the different patient needs, someone may need to be growing some high CB flower, and whatever they need for their particular need is one thing. But if you have another patient who's juicing the plant, for cannabis juice, you're going to need a whole lot more plant matter mm-hmm. than someone who's growing, like a high CBD, flower. So in lieu of trying to establish those kind of parameters, what we've done is we basically dictated that it, you know, needs to be sufficient to the needs of the patient, and we're leaving it up to the yet to be formed Ohio Cannabis Control Commission to enact the laws that will, you know, establish, you know, how this is managed in the state of Ohio, because every industry in Ohio has a commission, you know, alcohol and liquor and gambling and everything else has a commission. Our commission is no different, and it won't cost the taxpayers a dime. It'll all be self-funded through, you know, taxes and fees and fines.
So the initial vote on the constitutional amendment won't have any specific plant limits within it. However, this board would be able to establish plant limits later?
Well, what the board is going to do is going to establish the regulation, and nothing the board can do can undermine a patient right. You know, so, okay. You know, our board is specifically designed to be, you know, nonpartisan. It has a broad-based distribution of folks from, you know, therapeutic community, from the agricultural community, from law enforcement, mental health. You know, we made sure that it was a broad coalition that would sit on this board and dictate all the policies that, you know, how this would be governed. It's completely transparent, nonpartisan, and self-funded. And, you know, we think it's going to be a good way to enact these laws, because, you know, everything changes. You know, mm-hmm. Right now we have a set of specific, you know, ailments that are called out for in the amendment. But who knows, 5 years from now, they're going to find out that CBD, you know, can be therapeutically used for X, Y, or Z disease. And we don't want to limit, you know, that ability. So the board will take the science that we know and apply it to how cannabis is used in the state of Ohio.
Speaking with John Pardee, the president of Ohio Rights Group, and you can find them online at ohiorights.org. And one of the things I've found in covering these medical marijuana bills and initiatives in the past is significant pushback from law enforcement, who always wants to have what they call bright lines. They want to know an exact amount of plant material, exact number of plants, how big the plants can be. Do you anticipate any pushback from law enforcement by not having any specific limits in your language?
I don't know that to be the case. It's one of the conversations we have yet to have. We do have, you know, support from, you know, the forward thinking people in law enforcement, because they know by legalizing cannabis, it's actually going to make our streets safer. You're going to have less violence, you know, in our streets, because you're going to have less contraband substances, you know, that people are going to be fighting over. And you ask any police officer, they know they'd rather deal with folks who are involved with, you know, cannabis, either medicinally or recreationally, versus, you know, alcohol or meth or some other, you know, compounds. So, I mean, on a philosophical basis, most of your patrolmen and beat officers are supportive of what we're doing, especially officers from, you know, law enforcement against prohibition.
Yes.
I think the pushback we're going to get is really from, you know, some of the, sheriff's departments and whatever that depend on federal dollars, you know, from the DEA, you know, for enforcement. Obviously, you know, they're worried about their fiefdoms, you know, losing funding. So we're going to get some pushback from them.
Now, one last question, anything with respect to possession limits and dispensaries in your bill?
Again, a lot of that's all going to be, you know, left up to the commission. You know, it's important to understand, you know, remember that, you know, everything is, you know, nothing that can be written either by the commission or by the legislature that would undermine anybody's rights. So it's, you know, it's kind of going to be, you know, interesting going forward. And our job after we win this is then to, you know, make sure we lobby hard to make sure patients' rights are front and center in every decision that the Cannabis Control Commission enacts. We got a tough road ahead of us, but we feel we're equal to the task.
All right. It sounds like you got a lot of work ahead of you, collecting over 380,000 signatures, directing everyone to ohiorights.org to help you out. And John Pardee from Ohio Rights Group, thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show.
Thanks, Russ. Really appreciate it.
All right, stick around, folks. We're going to talk about the latest medical marijuana bill in Illinois and how it illustrates the path into the Box Canyon. Be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool, but doing it with crack isn't just wrong. Could be dead wrong.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right. Well, we had kind of a good news day today. Well, I shouldn't say kind of. It's an incredible good news today. In that the state of Illinois, Governor Quinn finally signed, after about a month, the most restrictive medical marijuana bill in the nation. That's good news to people in the state of Illinois who may suffer from one of the something like 42 different ailments that are specifically listed in their bill. This is great news. It means that now we've got 20 medical marijuana states. We've also got Maryland, which... you really can't call it a medical marijuana state. They have a bill that allows universities to do trial studies, right? So, kinda. So, 20 medical marijuana states, Maryland's little thing, and then District of Columbia. And if you add up the people in all those 22 jurisdictions, you get 39% of the American population, at least according to the 2010 census. It's about 120 million people now in this country live in a state where there is some sort of protection for the medical use of cannabis. And if you add up the electoral votes of those states, it comes up to 40% of all the electoral votes. It's like 160-something. I forget the exact count. What I'm getting to here is from a public perception standpoint, we have gone beyond the tipping point where medical marijuana is seen as somewhat inevitable. At least in states that consider themselves blue or swing states, it's pretty much an inevitability that there will be medical marijuana. Now, some of the deep red states, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Texas, it might be a tougher row to hoe. But even in those states, I think they're going to be affected by so many other states allowing for medical use. That's the good news. On the big picture front, we are definitely winning. However, there are a lot of things that should be brought to bear, should be pointed out here in this Illinois bill that leave me a little bit troubled. Of course, there is the no home grow. Nobody in the state of Illinois will be allowed to grow their own plants. They must shop for them at a dispensary. They must be limited 2.5 ounces every 2 weeks. They will have a card, kind of like a, not a debit card, but you know, like when you get special points at like a coffee shop or a pizza place or a sub shop, you know, buy 5 sandwiches, get your 6th one free kind of thing. And they keep track of how many sandwiches you have. Sometimes they have a punch card. Nowadays, they've got a magnetic card that stores how many purchases you've had. That's what they're going to have for medical marijuana cards in the state of Illinois. A card that when you buy will track exactly how much you purchased. So nobody could possibly have more than 2.5 ounces in that 2 week period. So very, very strict here and required to have to go shop at dispensaries where we don't know yet if there's going to be any limitation on strains or potency, how much variety there will be. But I can tell you that when the government's in charge of these things compared to the free market, you're always going to get less quality and less selection. That's just the natural fact of this. The other troubling aspects of this, of course, the doctor-patient relationship. What the Box Canyon theory is really about is noting that as we fight for medical marijuana, as we continue to fight for medical marijuana, we also continue to imply that some people are non-medical, and we imply that we have to set up a medical program as strictly as we can to prevent the non-medical people from getting into it. It's the Box Canyon, it's the conundrum of medical marijuana that says some people are healthy enough to put in a cage. And in order to separate the sick enough from the healthy enough, we have to have stricter and stricter laws. And this has been what we have seen as medical marijuana has progressed throughout time. We started with California. For any illness for which a doctor says marijuana will provide relief, for as many plants in possession as a doctor says you're going to need. Well, the next 3 states that took up medical marijuana, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, quickly saw that as a loophole huge enough to drive a truck through, truck full of marijuana, and they promptly tightened that up. There wouldn't be just a limitless amount of conditions that any doctor, because what the hell do doctors know, that any doctor could recommend for. No, the legislature knows better than doctors, and they'll make sure that it's going to be, I'm sorry, I guess in this case it wasn't legislatures, it was the initiative process, but to get through the initiative process, we'll limit it to just a significant number of conditions, significantly ill conditions. And then possession limits became less and less as states further on down the line decided that there was too much diversion to the black market. Oh my goodness, healthy people might be getting marijuana, and they're getting it cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Prices down here on the West Coast have dropped to around $200-$150 an ounce for top shelf meds. My God, we can't have healthy people having cheap marijuana. So the rules become stricter and stricter. The conditions become stricter and stricter to the point where now Illinois makes the 9th state in a row since 2010 to pass medical marijuana with no home growing. Now, to be fair, 2010 was Arizona. They do allow home growing if you live farther than 25 miles from a dispensary. So if you're out in the boonies, you can grow your own. But if you're anywhere near a city, forget about it. And state of Massachusetts also allows for home growing in limited circumstances where you can claim a hardship exemption. If you're too poor, you live too far away, then you can claim a hardship and be able to grow your own marijuana. But the rest of the states that have passed this have not allowed for home grow. And Illinois now makes the 9th state. And this is always because law enforcement has something to say about that. Governor Maggie Hassan up in New Hampshire would not sign a bill. She said, I will veto any medical marijuana bill that comes through with home growing attached to it because of pressure from law enforcement. She said, she often said that she was deferring to law enforcement on the issue. And sure enough, what gets passed in New Hampshire to make the 19th state a bill that allows no home growing, despite the fact that Maine, Vermont, right on either side of them, allows for home growing. Some reason in New Hampshire, they couldn't keep a lid on it. And Illinois, of course, is not going to allow home growing either. Now, the question then becomes, well, if medical marijuana won't pass, if it has home growing in it, do you not fight for medical marijuana? Well, that's the other dilemma we find ourselves in politically. When we originally posted the medical marijuana issue in the early 90s, it was kind of a wedge issue. It was kind of a leverage that we had where the typical viewpoint of the marijuana user was the stoner, the criminal, the loser. And we were able to wedge them away from that by saying, well, no, it can be medical use. There's sick people who actually gain medical benefit from it. But in creating that wedge, we wedged ourselves away from most of the pot smokers. Most pot smokers are not medical, or if they are, have a medical condition that won't qualify under most of these state laws, especially the newer ones. It worked for us initially to turn public sentiment into, well, okay, we can legalize it for the sick people. But now we find ourselves hoist by our own petard. Now they can turn to us and say, well, if this is really about the sick people, how can you not vote for it? How could you turn to a cancer patient in Illinois and say, sorry, we can't support this law because it doesn't have home growing, or it doesn't have enough conditions, it doesn't include chronic pain, or it has too restrictive of a situation in tracking and possession limits. Now they can use the medical issue against us. Now they can come up with the strictest medical marijuana laws they want and say, well, you're not going to vote against the cancer patients, are you? And the fear I have with this Box Canyon is that as we get railroaded and moved into these states, especially the eastern and midwestern states that pass medical marijuana with dispensaries only, we soon run the risk of Big Pharma getting through their stage three trials and bringing to market some very effective cannabinoid therapies. Sativex is already in stage three trials. There will be others. There will be others that are whole plant extracts. There will be others that will be synthesized cannabinoids in various ratios. They'll be absolutely accurate for the dose. There'll be an accurate potency. They will be smokeless. You'll be able to use them as tinctures or sprays or inhalers or vaporizers or time-release capsules or what have you. They'll be covered by insurance. And in most cases, they won't get you high. And I can see in the late 2010s, early 2020s, these dispensary states starting to stock all these cannabinoid pharmaceuticals in the dispensaries rather than stocking the plant. I can see state governments getting into bed with big pharmaceutical corporations for the exclusive rights to distribute in the state dispensaries. And I can see the medical marijuana patients in those states who complain they can't get access to the plant not having a leg to stand on when there are cannabinoid pharmaceuticals that do the job just as well or better than the raw plant, and yet covered by insurance, not Schedule I drugs. So we may end up in a situation in America where much of the country is medical marijuana states that then become cannabinoid pharmaceutical states and slowly repeal or cut back their medical marijuana laws. We may end up in a situation where only the states in the West that were lucky enough to pass their medical marijuana laws in the late 20th and early 21st century are able to hold on to their home grow. And it will be interesting to see in those states where the laws passed are statutory and not constitutional, whether or not the legislatures then go after the right to home grow when they can be replaced with cannabinoid pharmaceuticals. This to me seems like the inevitable end path of medical marijuana. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying this is what I see. And I see that we really, really need to be pushing for the adult right to use cannabis, to grow cannabis, for whatever reason. All use is none-ya. If we continue to say why I use it gives me an excuse, we continue to give the government a reason to judge. We'll talk more about this in hour two and take your calls at 971-533-7111. Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.